know before reading this what a pugilist was, so I'll just define it for you. A pugilist is a practitioner of the art of boxing, a boxer or a fighter. A little background about Tom Jones. He was born in 1945, so he's still alive, and he's in his 60s now. He's an American writer, and he wrote primarily short stories. And a lot of his fiction writing comes from personal experience. He trained in force recon in the Marine Corps, but he was discharged before his unit was sent to Vietnam. His father was a boxer who committed suicide in a mental institution. So he takes a lot of his writing from personal experience and background. He actually started his writing career pretty late. He was working as a janitor in his 40s, and he was discovered by the fiction editors of The New Yorker, who published a series of his stories in the 90s, so not too long ago. And his first book is actually a short story collection. It's called The Pugilist at Rest. And a lot of his common themes are mortality and pain, boxing, mentally ill fathers, physical trauma, the Vietnam War, and so on. And he currently lives in Washington State and has temporal lobe epilepsy, which he also writes about in the story, and he suffers from diabetes. Okay, so looking at the story, it begins with Hey Baby, which is interesting, and the first three paragraphs start Hey Baby, Hey Baby, Hey Baby. And in the first paragraph at the end, the first sort of snippet of actual dialogue that we get is Hey Baby, which is dictated by Sergeant Wright. And then he goes into summarized dialogue. And what this does, I think, is it not only sets the pace of the story, it was a letter to Rosie Rottencrotch, he said at the end, and what really mattered, what was really at issue, and what was of utter importance, he starts introducing us to his writing style, and we get sort of the narrator's voice through the dialogue, and not only the person who's speaking. And then later he says, but the main prize he won that night was that he became forever known as Hey Baby to the recruits of Platoon 263. And then by starting out the entire piece, Hey Baby, I feel like this brings the reader into Platoon 263, because it's after the event, but we get this before, and it's like we're one of the Marines and we're calling this person, Hey Baby. And then after this, the first bit of actual dialogue that we get is when Georgeson says at the bottom. Georgeson would say under his breath, "You could get killed if you try that," or "Your ass is had if you do that." And this dialogue, it's Georgeson would say, so it's sort of continuing and something that might have been repeated, which is kind of what this whole piece is doing. I feel like it reads like dialogue, and the language he uses is a lot like spoken language. So the piece is speaking to us, and then continuing, "You could get killed," or "Your ass is had," and then stepping out of dialogue into the actual story, "You got the feeling." It's like a continuation, the continuation of "you" by the narrator sort of extends the dialogue from actual dialogue to the piece, which also gives you the feel that the story is talking to you. And this is also sort of seen in his language, the colloquial language that he uses. For example, on page 677 he says, "Some couldn't pass the physical fitness tests and had to go to a special camp for pussies." And then he says, "I got highly pissed and didn't talk to him for a couple of days after this." It's very spoken. So you get the feeling that the piece is sort of talking to you. And then another interesting passage of dialogue to look at is the one on 677, some weeks after Hey Baby began hassling Georgeson. Sergeant Wright gave us his best speech. You men are going off to war, and it's not a pretty thing, etc., and etc. And if Luke LeCouc, and then he intersperses etc. and etc. through snippets of actual dialogue. And I think what this does is it sort of gives us the necessary pieces of dialogue, but also it tells us a lot about the character and what he thinks about the character who's speaking. So even though this seems like it should be an important speech, he puts etc. and etc. in it so that it feels like he's trying to get through it, and he condenses it. And then at the end he says, "At the time it seemed to me a very good speech, and it stirred me deeply." But through the language, we get the feeling that he's not really deeply stirred by it. And so this sort of hints to the reader that there's some sort of narrative distance, and that he's looking back and he might feel differently about it now than he did at the time. And then if we compare this to the dialogue on page 679, the one that Georgeson delivers, he says, it starts, I said, I'm going to read this because it's very effective, I think. "Man, can't you get into it? For Christ's sake." "I'm not like you," he said, "but I am into it, more than you could ever know. I never told you this before, but I am Kal-El, born on the planet Krypton and rocketed to Earth as an infant moments before my world exploded. Disguised as a mild-mannered Marine, I had resolved to use my powers for the good of mankind. Whenever danger appears on the scene, truth and justice will be served as I slip into the green USMC utility uniform and become Earth's greatest hero." And this is the largest, the lengthiest chunk of dialogue, of actual dialogue, that we get in the entire piece. And it's interesting, the conscious decision that Jones is making to give Georgeson so much breath, I guess, when he's not really talking about anything. He's just, he's joking about being from a different planet, and comparing this to Sergeant Wright gave us his best speech. You men are going off to war, and it's not a pretty thing, etc., and etc. It gives the reader insight not only to Georgeson's character, but also to Sergeant Wright and what and the narrators and what he felt about each of those people, and it brings the reader closer to Georgeson by devoting so much speech to him, I guess. And character depth. And then moving into description, I feel like Jones doesn't use a lot of description throughout the piece, and what he does use is he sizes people up. So when he's describing people, he talks about their size, which is very fitting, because the piece is about the Marines, and if you were a Marine, you would be sizing people up constantly. So the language of the story brings you into the Marine Corps that way, in a way. So, for example, Georgeson was small and unassuming, except for these eyes. Hey Baby was a large and fairly tough young man who liked to displace his aggressive impulses on Georgeson, but he wasn't as big or as tough as I. So we get Georgeson is small, the narrator is big, Hey Baby is big, but not as big as the narrator, and these are things that Marines would notice, so we're being put in that position. Also, because it's told through first person, but then this, okay, so people are sized up, and then the really only clear description that we get is Georgeson's eyes, and these stand out because they stand out, but also because they stand out in the language of the piece, like, because the description of them is, it doesn't follow his other description, so in the language, we take note of them. So all of the recruits were teary except Georgeson. He had these very clear cobalt blue eyes. They were so remarkable that they caused you to notice Georgeson in a crowd. There was unusual beauty in these eyes, and there was an extraordinary power in them. And it continues describing his eyes for a bit. And a couple things I want to point out. He had these very clear cobalt blue eyes. I feel like that would read very differently if you took out these. By attaching that, first of all, it feels spoken, and also there's some familiarity with it. And they were so remarkable that they caused you to notice George Clooney in a crowd. The sentence in writing is doing exactly what it's saying, that this sentence is remarkable because it's devoting so much to the description of his eyes. And the you, it sort of applies to the reader, and it causes you to notice Georgeson in the crowd of characters that he's displaying. And then the next time his eyes are mentioned, it's on 683, and he says, "And after he stopped to load another, he turned back and looked at me with those blue eyes and a smile like, 'How am I doing?'" And here, "with those blue eyes" is directly parallel to these very clear cobalt blue eyes that he mentioned in the first time that he described the eyes. And this gives the reader a sort of familiarity with the eyes, and we know those blue eyes. We know what he's talking about, and the character is sort of stepping off the page, in a way. And I have a lot more to say, but I'm already out of time, so I'll stop.